Hey everybody, I'm Luke.
And I'm Kurt as usual.
And welcome back to The Breakdown.
Yes, gonna be a good day today. Very excited.
It sure is. Happy Easter.
I know.
Pre-Easter.
Pre-Easter, Holy Week. Pretty specific, awesome time. Did you grow up with a lot of
traditions?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I remember going to my grandma's house and like, she'd give us Easter baskets and sometimes my parents would do egg hunts in the backyard. It was really fun.
Yeah.
They'd even put money in some of them.
Ooh.
So that was really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Let me ask you a question here because I just don't know if it's me. And I don't know if I have this filter over my soul that I need to just get adjusted. But this has not particularly been in my history, not recently, but in my longstanding child on history. Easter was not really a time that I enjoyed. When I was real, real young, I looked forward to the little gifts. But the more I grew and knew the Lord and thought about his sacrifice, the more it doesn't carry the same sense of awe and wonder to me, or it didn't, rather, awe and wonder and maybe even this, you know, feeling of like Christmas time.
Right.
And I agree that it should feel differently. But then I'm meditating on this recently and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. That's probably because we're putting the emphasis on Friday instead of Sunday.
Mm.
Friday with the death and burial.
Right. Yeah, and that very well could be. Mm. I think also it's as we grow and mature, like our salvation starts to mean more to us.
Yeah.
So Easter is more, in a sense, I think it's more theological than Christmas is in some ways.
Okay, you know? I got you. Oh,
especially
that's
because Christmas, like you have Santa Claus and there's more like media around it.
We got the Easter Bunny.
And culture. Yeah, but I don't know. Like
it doesn't carry the same weight.
It's not the same as Christmas.
It's true.
And you know, even salvation is something that is a process and we walk into that and we grow up into that.
Yeah.
And I recently I've been meditating on, you know, David's prayer, like restore to me
the joy
of my salvation. So there's something with salvation that I think it's we have to ask the Lord to reveal more of that to us.
Yeah.
Some of that awe and wonder, especially as we've been in this longer.
Yeah. That's true. I guess I can see that now. Because,
that's just my thought.
No, it's great. It's excellent. I think Christmas comes with the anticipation of gifts and family, et cetera. And while Easter is this, okay, wow, we're remembering on Friday and Saturday, we're very much getting into what those disciples and apostles felt on those first 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And even what they felt a little while afterwards. You know, we get to read the Gospels together and we see the full picture. But what it was like to be like, wait a minute, is this really Jesus standing in front of me when he was resurrected? How are you sure?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I also think that Christmas reflects it reflects our experience of God the Father now too. Because the wrath has been satisfied,
oh,
right?
Oh yeah.
So now he, you know, once he ascended, and then he gave gifts to men. So Christmas is more reflective of our current state,
like
as God's
position,
children.
Station.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, where he's always pouring down gifts on us.
Wow.
And now we get to play that out with others and give gifts to them and reflect his love.
Mm. That's really good. That's really good. And then when we come into, you know, just a couple days, we'll be at Good Friday. We'll have our worship service here at the church. So that's pretty exciting to have. And, you know, just a time. I actually love that we're taking our Good Friday and dedicating it to worship for the Lord and to think about just communing with him and connecting with him, especially over in that new space as is anticipated right now. And I'm very much looking forward to that. And I'm expecting actually that this particular Easter, maybe some of that will change in me as I grow in my salvation, like you talk about.
Yeah. And I think it's also asking the Lord, like, what is it that you want me to learn this Easter?
Yeah.
Because God is patient with us and he doesn't expect us to get it all at once. It's actually impossible for us to get it all at once.
True.
So in the same way that you would admire a beautiful piece of artwork, like you take it all in, but then as you go back to it, it's like you can take the time to really appreciate like what's going on in just this one corner of the artwork.
Yeah.
So Lord, like show me like what is it about Easter that you want to impart to me this year.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, as I got older, I would start today, if not earlier, I would start today and I would read through sort of like in the synoptics and then in John as well, the Passion Week, the week of his passion and all those different experiences. And I wanted to kind of be entrenched in, you know, what was it like for Jesus in that last week and what was going on? What was he teaching? What was he communicating? Mm-hmm. What was he demonstrating of the Father? And you see like, okay, I mean, even saying things like, I have a lot to say to you right now, but you can't bear it. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll reveal these things to you. So just knowing that we are on the other side of even the other side of that tomb where Christ is risen and furthermore has ascended and furthermore is seated at the right hand. And now we do have this position with the Lord, which you always love to talk about, Ephesians 1.
Yes.
We too are seated with Christ.
Because that's where we start from. It's important that you know your position.
Yes. Because that's where our identity builds from in terms of moving forward with the Lord. So hey, listen, if you're out, as you're out there, not if, as you're out there this week, invite your family, invite your friends, invite the people at the local grocery store, wherever you are. I know we have at least one person, one of the employees coming over from Walmart right next door to us. They're pretty excited. Just spending some time, you know, wherever the Lord places us. I really do believe that Walmart, because it's adjacent to us, it's a sister store here. Not that we're a store, but we're on the same area. We really have some fertile soil right there that we should be sowing into, you know.
Amen.
So it's exciting. Invite some people to come out, join us for Friday night, join us for Sunday service. And we have settled on Sunday service, 9:30.
9:30 a.m.
Will that permit you to sleep in longer, or will you actually sleep in
for
longer?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, probably not.
No.
No. I mean, on my days off, if I sleep past 7:30, I feel like I wasted my day already.
Mm.
So that's just how I am. I love the sunlight.
Yeah.
So especially in the summer months, I like to get up early, catch all the sunlight there is.
That's awesome. Yeah. You and I are unique creatures. Most people, they would not most people, but I know other people would just love to, I got to get as much sleep in. I got to stay in this bed.
And then what's hard is I like to stay up late.
Yep.
So
it's hard.
It's hard to do both. You can't do both.
You really can't. All right. So let's flash back. We've gone forward. We've talked about Easter, but let's flash back. Let's take a look at Sunday. Pastor Zach bringing us into what he terms as one of his real favorite messages, favorite seasons. It is that Sunday, Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. We see Jesus coming in, and I will tell you, so many of us have heard so many teachings on donkeys and a lot of puns within the donkey terminology and teaching. And I will tell you this, that at our staff meeting, Pastor Zach applauded himself and we all gave him standing ovation that he did not make a whole lot of donkey puns or donkey jokes. And I thought it was an excellent, excellent communication. I have never, ever heard anything like that. And would have never seen myself as the donkey, you know? And
me neither.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. And then we'll get into it. But I also started to see myself, like Zach did, in the place of the two disciples that
Jesus sent.
Where it's, we go to people now and we say, the Lord has need of you.
Yeah. Which is a great place to be. You know, I love it. He was saying, hey, listen, I'm so glad that the disciples aren't named, because I'm pretty sure one of them is called Zach, and that's my responsibility. And it was actually really good to hear, as we're getting ready to make this transition over to the other side, to hear from our pastor what he believes his God-given role is in this area, and is to call out the giftings inside of the people who God has sent here. And I think I know that I'm a testament of that, you know?
I would agree for myself too.
Yeah, I talk about it all the time. We've talked about it here on the show that, you know, when I came to the church, I always knew that I was called to be a pastor, but it was here among these peers and friends who called me out as a teacher. And I'm so grateful for it, because it called me to that level of really walking into the gifting, you know, that God established for me, which is something they saw on the inside. And this is how we should be with one another. We should just say, hey, man, you are a gift of the Lord. And, you know, we do it in a lot of our classes. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the gift that God deposited? Yeah. How do we stoke that, stir that, and draw it out?
Yeah. No, and it's so cool, because, you know, you start to see how God made you into an original.
Mm.
And then there's nothing more thrilling or satisfying than calling that out in other people and seeing them come into their originality in Christ as his vessel.
Oh, I know.
And when you do that in the way God intended, like, there's no competition. Like, I think, you know, in our flesh, we do this in a very competitive way.
Yep.
You know, without, apart from Christ, it's hard because it's like, well, it's me versus you. But when it's done from a place of love and in the spirit of brotherhood, the way Christ calls us to, I'm very happy, like, when I see other people walking in their giftings. Like, even just going back to the Youth Sunday, it's so encouraging where it's like, wow, we could just sit down now and music is covered.
Yep.
And the Holy Spirit is giving them words, and he's going to continue to teach us using all these wonderful people that are around us, all these young people, old people. You know, like, in that competition and that striving, it melts away when we're in the unity of the Spirit.
Yeah, it's so true. To understand your individuality, your gifting, your how the Lord made you and why you matter to him as an individual and why you matter to him as part of the corporate body.
Yep.
And then to foster that inside of others, it's exactly what John communicated in one of his letters. He says, I have no greater joy than to see that my children are walking in the truth. Like, that is, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
When you are saying, hey, listen, I know that part of why I'm existing here is to call out and foster that inside of you. And to Pastor Zach's point on Sunday, he talked about maybe people falling on the spectrum of, you know, maybe even feeling like they're too outdated to be used. They've already passed their prime, but there really is so much left inside for you to impart and just I thought it was great to have that be coming out on the heels of the Youth Sunday the week before, to understand and tie it right into what Pastor Bill talked about.
Absolutely, because, you know, we're kind of jumping around here,
it's good.
I think, as you know, Pastor Zach touched on it, where he touched on, you know, how God exists outside of time. And that's really important for us.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about our position in Christ, so our position is now eternal. We are eternally secure. So that spirit nature of us, that regenerated spirit, the new part of us that Jesus makes alive, that exists outside of time. So even though you're here on earth and your body is bound in time, your mind, your soul, to see your true self through that lens is now wrong.
Yeah.
But that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to believe these lies like, oh, you're past your prime, or no, your day's done. This is you've expended everything inside of you.
Yeah.
And that's a lie, because you are seated in Christ and you are eternally secure, and Christ and Jesus exists outside of time.
Yep.
And so that's why all the eternal riches of heaven are available to us.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to live from that perspective.
Yeah.
And it's not even just a perspective, it's a reality.
That's so good. So important. Oh, it's awesome. Praise God. I know we're going to be jumping around a bit, but it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of brings us into this point that Pastor Zach made that you just brought up, that because God exists outside of time, and it's okay if that kind of, you know, doesn't make sense to us, that's okay. It's actually not supposed to. You know, the secret things, the secret things, they belong to the Lord, but the things that he has chosen to reveal, he's made known to us, as Moses wrote in Deuteronomy. So it's okay that the Lord has some secret things. I would say this, I love what Pastor was bringing up about, there's a difference between operating in time and order, and making the association that because it's timely, it's orderly, you know? But the scripture says that in the fullness of time, Christ came forward.
Yeah.
And so there's an order that precedes the time, and it's God's order. We should actually take comfort in the fact that God has things in order. When we feel like, oh God, you put us on the board, you put us in the field, and you've forgotten us out here.
No.
Everything is working strategically in his order. And that just causes us to say, you know what? Okay, we're not in control of time. The Lord really taught me this a few years ago. My life and my times, they are in the Lord's hands.
Yes.
When I come to the Lord, if I truly want to submit to the posture like Christ did and say, not my will, but yours, my life and my times, they're in the Lord's hands.
Yeah.
He moves me wherever he wants to, whenever he wants to. I'm the bond servant. I was set free for freedom's sake, but I've chosen to stay with the master.
Yes. And you know, in Psalm 139, and Zach referenced it, it says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And I just saw, you know, if you haven't read that song, go read it.
Changed my life.
Every single day, starting on Friday, someone has referenced it wherever I've been. So I really think there's something on Psalm 139 right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So go read that, meditate on that.
Okay. This is good. So you're we're hearing something from the Lord. And as part of what we talk about on this show is discerning, you know, hey, when something comes up, it's not just coincidence, especially when you're talking about people of the Lord. So, okay, you've heard this several times.
From different places. Yep. Okay.
You know, in a time where we're lacking full understanding of identity in Christ, I will tell you that when I read those passages, that was the beginning of the breaking in my life. Mm-hmm. When I saw what David is penning in Psalm 139, that number one, where can I run from your presence? Where can I flee from your spirit? No matter where I go, you are there and you'll find me, even following me to the gates of hell. You know, and then all of this being knit together in my mother's womb. Mm-hmm. So you're right. There is something that the Lord wants to communicate.
Right.
That's going to firmly establish identity in our lives as we're moving forward. So that's awesome. That's really good.
Yeah.
Kind of brings us into this piece here on the breaking with the donkey. Mm-hmm. And something I really believe is important to park on for a few moments and say, okay, we tend to look at the word broken or breaking, and we look at it in a bad sense. Jesus says it this way. He says, whoever this rock falls on, you'll be crushed. But whoever falls on this rock, you'll be broken. And so the idea is that if we don't submit to the Lord's breaking, it's going to crush us. But if we would just submit to the way that he wants to provide the breaking in our lives. And again, if you're not, most of us, none of us are donkey trainers or equestrians or whatever. We probably don't hear those terms a lot, like the breaking of a horse. But you get it with the terms like a horse. If we understood that the Lord has something to saddle on our heart, a throne where he wants and desires to sit. And that requires, first of all, him coming and getting us, which again, I love that he used his disciples to do that. So he's going to use us to come and call out one another. And two, he is going to be the one that does the breaking in our lives, which says so much.
Yeah, and I think we have to frame it correctly where, you know, Satan breaks us to hurt us.
Correct.
Whereas the Lord doesn't break us, he disciplines us. Mm. So it's this breaking of a donkey is to discipline the donkey.
Yeah.
So the Lord is disciplining us because if you're breaking this animal, it's because you want to make it useful and you have to establish a good relationship with it.
Yeah.
So there's a discipline of teaching the animal, oh no, you can't do that. I'm in control here.
Mm.
But I care for you. So I'm not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
But no, you can't do that.
You know, we jump right to that point on the discipline and the correction, but to hear how Pastor Zach brought up these few things that are required when training the donkey, and the first and foremost is while we would liken the majority of the behavior coming from mules and donkeys to stubbornness, he was saying the research actually shows it is rather fear that is driving them.
Yep.
So think about us. If we put ourselves in the position of the donkey, again, that's where the pun and the joke would be, but if we put ourselves in that position, then it helps us understand, okay, We know that stubbornness in our lives is not just obstinance most of the time. A lot of times it's fear. Even if it's fear of what I'm going to have to lose, fear of what I'm going to have to give up. But what does he come? This was probably the part that sealed the deal for me. Like the trainer would come with the apple to the donkey as he's getting close, sort of kind of bridging that gap and eliminating fear, hopefully. Jesus, I mean, this is the part that really got me. Jesus would come and offer this gift, showing his open hand salvation, which is just beautiful. Yep. I mean, it nails it for me. Mm-hmm. Again, no pun intended there, but it really does solidify it for me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because that's what we most need.
Yeah.
And if he's taken, and it's important for us to stop and picture that. Mm. Jesus offers his nail-scarred hands.
Mm.
He offers the price that has been paid.
Yeah.
I forget where the verse says, but it's like, you know, he who did not spare his, who did not, who spared his own son, like he did not spare his own son. He gave Jesus for us. Will he not give us everything else?
Yeah.
And we have to look at that as like, okay, God has taken care of everything.
Yeah.
And he offers me everything right up front.
Yeah.
It's not like a little salvation carrot
in
order for me to get into this walk. And then I get the big, you know, salvation banquet. No, he gives you the whole thing right up front.
Yeah.
And then if he's given you the main course, like, why anything else is just little, you know, like desserts on top going forward.
Yeah. It actually does a good job of changing our understanding of the nature and character of God, which I would actually say is part of why I believe that I'm here is to really reframe and restructure how people view the Father.
Yes.
Because we tend to view him, we make these associations many times to a mythological god like Zeus, who would be looking down to just fire a lightning bolt anytime we miss the mark. And that's what we think corrective discipline is. And that's how we think it's going to happen, instead of understanding that the Lord desires a place in our lives really for relationship. And when we come into that relationship, it allows us to be used for his good pleasure. In fact, the scripture teaches us that it's him who works in us,
yes,
both to do and to will, or to will and do his good pleasure.
Yep.
And like you said, to offer everything up front. Romans,
yeah.
Paul says in Romans,
yeah,
it's a free gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free gift. And
yep,
you could just accept it. Again, if you put it all together, I know you're chomping at the bit to talk there, but if you
keep
put
on
it all together, Paul refers to himself as a bondservant, which if you just understand the Old Testament, was the one who was freed in that year, but chose to stay with the master. You can receive salvation and just walk away. It's like that free gift. Mm-hmm. Not walk away from your salvation, but be like,
yeah,
I don't want to
yeah
do anything else,
oh, yeah,
Lord.
Yeah,
I'm good. Thanks
yep
for the gift.
Yep.
But to choose to stay with the master and be for his good pleasure and his use, that's what you're seeing here.
Yes. Yes. I forget where I was.
Sorry,
go.
Dude.
I just
got lit up there.
You sucked me in.
I just got lit up because
that's awesome.
It's the beauty of what the Lord's providing.
Oh, I remember what I was going to say, because I think, you know, experientially, this discipline process,
yeah,
the breaking
process.
When we, I think sometimes like we mess up and we know that we messed up, and it can feel like, okay, I blew it. I'm not in this.
Yeah.
Like maybe this was fake. And it's like, but the thing is the fact that you can recognize that you messed up,
yeah,
that's God working in you.
Yes.
He's showing you that.
Yes.
Because think back to before Jesus or before you were saved, you probably did lots of things and you didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the fact that you start to care, that's from him.
It is.
And it's proof that he's there with you,
yeah,
counseling you and walking you through this.
Yeah.
You know? But Satan loves to go in there
right
and
there
use that awareness that you now have of your sin. He tries to trick you and reframe it as, yeah, see, you're just so sinful.
Mm.
And this whole thing is you're just not legit.
Yeah. That's so good. You know, you're saying Psalm 139. We've spent the past 20 minutes and everything we've referenced has come from Romans 8. So I think Romans 8 is also in that. You talk about how the enemy is right there, and Romans 8 begins with there is no condemnation. And what happens is when we're following the Lord and when we get this sense, like you're saying, the very conviction,
yes,
not condemnation,
conviction,
but the very conviction,
yeah,
that we now feel we've missed the mark is actually proof that we belong to the Lord.
Yeah.
Because prior to that, we didn't care.
No, you were in ignorance.
Yes, you were, yeah, in ignorance. You know, Paul says, I was a sinner before the law, but the law came and sin revived and I died. Woe,
yeah,
is me. What am I going to do?
Yep.
You know, thanks,
yep,
be to God. Romans 8.
Yep.
So we have this beautiful understanding here. So even if we can take comfort in nothing else, take comfort in that the Lord is with you. And that's part of what Paul communicates in Romans 8, that it's that spirit that's crying within us, Abba, Father. You know, we know that we've been adopted,
yeah,
into his kingdom. So tying all that up, like you're saying, putting that bow on it and just understanding that, okay, the Lord has come to me. He's given me the free gift of salvation. I'm now the donkey. The Lord has use of me. And what I love about this is, again, we heard Pastor Zach communicate it. The donkey here, as we all have read it for so many years, it's the new car, the new Corvette, white seats, red outside, all the things. And that is exactly not what's going on here. He actually made the point that it would have been a most difficult donkey to actually ride because
no
it'd be
ever,
bucking.
Yeah,
yeah,
no one had ever ridden it.
And this is just proof of how good the Lord is when we place ourselves in that position to understand that God is not afraid of these areas of our life that everybody else has told us are not good enough, are not fit, we're not ready yet. We're just going to buck all the things. And again, Pastor Zach bringing us into the place of what we might term external evangelism, or just getting people to pray a prayer and then cleaning them up on the outside instead of actually discipling people and walking through this process so that people have a real understanding of what it means to be transformed from the inside out, not doing all the whitewashed things on the outside,
yeah,
that make us look holy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what's also really beautiful of it is that Jesus is the one that initiated the whole,
I love it,
the whole interaction.
Yes.
He's the one who tells the disciples to go, you're going to find this donkey, you're going to untie it and say the master has need of it.
Yes.
And it's important that we all stop and picture that exchange happening about us.
Oh, that's good.
It's really important that we do, especially that, you know, this is what we're talking about. We are the donkey. So now see yourself in the story before those disciples show up.
Mm.
So God was thinking of you. Jesus is thinking of you and the plans and purposes for you before you even had an idea of him.
Yeah. So powerful. And that should play forward in our own lives of how we're viewing others. You know, it takes a developed sense to come to the place where you know you're hearing from the Lord, but the more you practice, the more you're going to sense. Obviously, these disciples had Jesus saying, this is what you're going to see, this is what you're going to do, mm-hmm. this is what you're going to hear. In our place before the Lord, we may call it yielding, we may call it getting alone with the Lord, he is going to show us things. Mm-hmm. To come, show us things, show us people that we're going to interact with. I can't tell you the amount of times, especially as we get that spiritual perception up. I'm walking through a store. I may walk through a store several times. There was a young man over here, mm-hmm. you know, at the local store, and I saw him time and time again. And the Lord spoke to me, said, that man has a gift of authority and he's anointed to lead. And it took me probably about six times to get to the place of, but I couldn't fight it. And I finally told him, I never saw the young man again.
Wow.
I never saw him again.
Wow.
And so it's like, and he had laughed when I brought that word to him and chuckled and is like, you know, I've already been hearing this. So God is, that again, I love to look at this account and say, was the Lord already preparing the master and the owner of that donkey that they would have already known?
Had to have.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Good.
That's
that
really
is so cool.
But to have,
or maybe not. I don't know.
I know. But as we're living our day, just to be sensitive to the Lord.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
we get to participate in that.
We do.
So that's why it's important to see now that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
You are now one of the disciples.
I know. That's who we are. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. What else are you seeing here from this passage that you want to draw out, brother? Because I want to make sure we tackle it all. I know Pastor Zach was bringing us to the Mount of Olives and the place of pressing and just anointing flowing.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember, you know, Jesus has already factored in that you're going to try to buck him off at times. All right, so he factors that in, and he's like, no, he's going to win. Yeah. He's going to win, but he's factored that in. So take comfort in that.
Mm.
I know. That's how I just, you know, reconcile all that.
No,
and then if you're in a place of misery or you're in a place where it's like, oh my, this fruit isn't right, Beth Page.
Yep.
You know, he's gonna make everything perfect in its time.
Mm.
So submit yourself to him in that. And he's the one on you, he's writing you.
Yeah.
He's using you.
Yeah.
To carry him.
Yeah. It's so good. You know, and I don't know if you sense this at all. I actually love what you're saying there and how important it is for us to kind of pull back. I know for me, so many times, and you mentioned this a moment ago, so many times if something had come up in my life that made me feel like I was disqualified now, you know, I've done something that disqualified me. And we see through so many passages in scripture, and Peter is sort of like one of our last ones that we're like, okay, you did something similar, not as bad maybe as Judas, but similar. You denied three times, you know, that you knew Jesus because it saved your life.
Yeah.
You know, the difference between Judas and Peter was that Peter stuck around.
Mm-hmm.
Peter stuck around and just stayed close enough to the master. And in fact, the angel is the one who said, go tell my disciples and Peter. And so we need to hear the same thing. When we go through a situation in our lives where we feel like we've blown it, we've missed the mark, you know, God couldn't possibly use us. We need to insert our name in there at the resurrection where the angel's saying, go tell my disciples and Peter. Go tell Kurt too, because he needs to know this. He's not forsaken. He's not forgotten.
Yep.
And you're bringing that point
That's
up.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for real.
That we don't need to get lost on like, oh, I must have bucked hard enough this time that I threw off the master.
Yep. No. Oh, no. He's committed to you. He was committed to you before, you know, You got to see that.
So good. It's so good. Well, you know, you talk about coming to the place where he wants to ride us. And again, Pastor Zach challenging us as readers and disciples to read the words. And it says specifically that they placed him, who is Jesus, on the donkey. So what do you make of that in terms of like, why is that important that we capture that it was them placing Jesus on that donkey?
So now I'm kind of, I'm seeing that whole, the fivefold ministry that Pastor Zach referenced, you know, where it's in the fullness of counsel and mentoring, discipleship in a church, in a family of believers, we help prepare one another. And we, in that sense, it's like we're calling out, you know, the giftings, which makes it so that that person or us, if we're, you know, as we are being discipled, we are better equipped to then, you know, proclaim the gospel and show and bring Jesus to others. So I'm kind of seeing it that way.
Okay.
And I think it's, it gives us a stronger place of honor and responsibility in that process.
Yeah.
Which is I'm helping to shape this person to better represent Christ.
Yeah. I think that's great. I think that's a great way to see it, especially externally. And my mind keeps going to like this internal place where I have to place him on that donkey. I have to be the one that's going to, and that donkey right now is me, even though it was just.
I'm seeing myself in the disciples.
Yeah, it's great. It's that's what makes us beautiful. And to say, you know what? He is not going to absorb a space or even sit where he's really not welcome.
Yeah.
And I have to make sure that I'm placing him in that position.
That's good.
That's awesome. Wonderful. All right. Anything else that you want us to get here before we move into an awesome week?
I feel like we've covered a lot and a lot that I'm going to keep thinking about.
I know. Me too. So. Awesome. All right. Listen, we hope to see you. We'll pray here in just a moment. We definitely want to see you on Friday night. Yeah. Definitely want to see you on Sunday. Invite your friends. I love what Ashley was telling us as we began service on Sunday or the message part of the service. You know, a new space brings a whole lot of new things, and there may you may feel confused. You may be wondering about where things are, and just trust the Lord, trust the people who are involved. Let's all keep a really good attitude. Let's specifically remember for everybody that does go here on a regular basis, let's remember that there's probably going to be new people who are just interested, people maybe never experienced church or the gospel.
Absolutely.
Let's all make sure that we're encouraging and inviting and just having the right heart attitude, you know?
Yeah. No, and I think what's really cool about, you know, all the changes and the moves and stuff, it's it really keeps you focused on, well, it's a good reminder and an experiment for you to, like, ask yourself, what am I really focused on? Because when things change, sometimes, you know, the change is a way of reminding us, oh, I was focused on the wrong thing.
Or
maybe I had let, you know, my routine on Sunday become very routine. Like, oh, I'm used to sitting in this certain spot in this room. And now we're going to a new room. I have to find a new spot. I don't know what it's going to be like. But God is the same.
He is.
The Spirit is the same.
Yes, he is.
So your family is the same. So you have to go after the one who never changes.
Yes. That's so good. That's awesome. Well, bro, why don't you pray for us today as we wrap up.
Father, thank you for Easter. Thank you for sending Jesus. And please show us more and more of what that really means and keep us in the joy of our salvation. Help us to cooperate with what you're doing in our lives.
Yes, Lord.
And give us ears to hear what you would have us say and do and eyes to see the situations that you're calling us to step into. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Well, I'm Kurt.
And I'm Luke.
That's The Breakdown.
We will catch you next week.
Give me a breakdown.